Our opening day celebration continues right here on 760 WJR. As a matter of fact, we're putting the whole darn day into focus via Paul W.'s fine radio program. Paul with the day off. Yours truly, Steve Courtney here, taking care of business. And a little bit later on, two historic Major League franchises getting together at the Ball Yard, your Detroit Tigers and, of course, the Cardinals of San Luis. First pitch going off about 1:10. Meanwhile, it'll be Framber Valdez on the bump for the Tigers. No decision as of yet. ERA of 1.50. Cardinals will send out the right-hander, Michael McGreevy. What's he up to? No decision as of yet. And the ERA reflects that. So there you go. Cardinals come in 4-2. Your Tigers come in 2-4. We're going to talk about that with the voice, radio, sometimes TV. Just a fine human being all the way around, Double D Dan Dickerson. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Mr. Courtney. How are you? Always good to talk to you.
Everything is great. Now, sadly, as we celebrate opening day, Danny boy, the Tigers kind of come into Comerica Park limping a little bit. 4-game losing streak. You know, they beat the Padres in the first two games of the opening series by a combined score of 13-2. You were thinking at that point, okay, here we go. But, Danny, yeah. I'll just say this. Thank goodness there's 156 games left.
Yeah, it was kind of a weird opening trip. I mean, the pitching for the most part was strong, obviously, other than the eighth inning meltdown in game two against the Diamondbacks.
Right.
And the offense, you know, had big innings, which is always a good sign to me, but they only had big innings. They hardly scored in any of the other innings, which was really strange to me. So it wasn't good offense performance. I know that people felt going to the season, this team needed to add another bat. I didn't feel that way once they got Gleyber Torres back, because he was a big part of an offensive improvement last year. They got them into the top five offensively. They were top three offensively until the last 16 games of the season. So that's 90% of the season. They were top three offense in run scoring in the American League. So I just feel like with this young core, they're not all going to continue to progress. There's going to be some slip back, and then there's going to be some guys who take jumps up. I think they still have, even though it was not good the last four games, I get it, a good enough offense to get this team to the top of the Central. I think, you know, win 90 games plus, because they have, you still win with run prevention, right?
Sure.
You win championships with run prevention. The Dodgers won the World Series last year because they pitched well. Their hitting wasn't great in the postseason. And the Tigers, adding Framber Valdez, you mentioned him, starts opening day. I mean, fans are going to love this guy slotting in behind Tarik Skubal. When you've got two aces, I'm telling you, it just changes the whole feel. The offense is going to get going. It might take a little bit, but I'm confident about that. But when you add Valdez, and you look at that start that Casey Mize had, Steve, on the road trip, that was a great sign.
Sure was.
Casey Mize worked all spring. Did not have a good spring, but he had the luxury of working on some things instead of just trying to make the team. And he added a right-on-right splitter. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it could be a game-changer for him, because now he can get out righties better. He's got a swing and miss pitch to righties, and it took work to get it there. But he looked great against a team that doesn't swing and miss much. He got a lot of swing and miss.
Yeah.
So I just think the rotation's in great shape. There's depth in the bullpen. Not a great road trip by the end, but all the pieces in place to me to make a deep run into the postseason later this year.
You mentioned Casey Mize, 6 innings of work, 4 hits, 1 run, walked 2. He struck out 9. You're right, Danny. He deserved a better fate in game 2 of that D-back series. Meanwhile, let's not ignore the elephant in the room. Justin Verlander turned 43 in February in his first start again as a Tiger. 3 2/3, 6 hits, 5 runs, walked 2, struck out 1. Gave up a tater in that Tigers 9-6 loss to open the series with the D-backs. Now, I know a lot of members of Tigers Nation, Dan, saying, oh boy, here we go. He got off to a he got off to a very slow start with the Giants last year and corrected it. So there's that.
Yeah, and we saw better. The stuff was not good in his first start. I mean, let's just start right there. And
yes,
he knew that. He just didn't have anything to go to, which was kind of strange. He was bouncing breaking balls, and his fastball I couldn't locate. But we saw better in the spring. We saw up to 96 in the spring. We saw swing and miss with the fastball because he was locating his other pitches. We saw swing and miss by lefties on his slider. To me, that's a very good sign. So we saw better stuff in the spring. I'm not going to worry unless this goes on for several more starts. But I don't know. I don't think it will based on what we saw in his starts in the spring. The stuff that we saw is what I'm thinking about. So I think he'll be fine. He knows it wasn't good. He's like, well, let's just get to work. And right after he met with the media after his start and was very honest about his performance, he's like, I'm going over it. And he's going to sit down with Chris Fetter and Robin Lund and go over it. And he said, I've already got ideas. I'll be very surprised if it's not a whole lot better Sunday, although Sunday's forecast looks really nasty.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact.
40 degrees at game time for Sunday night baseball.
Well, this is what we get this time of year. But meanwhile, for today's opening day, I'll point out,
how about it?
70 degrees. Are you kidding me?
When was the last time we had that? I'm gonna let you look that up.
I don't remember, but all I know, it's been a while. Meanwhile, let's talk about some of the question marks offensively. Kerry Carpenter,
sure.
Nothing but love and respect for this guy. Right now, again, Danny, through six games, he's hitting 91. He's had 22 at-bats, and he's struck out 12 times. That's not Kerry Carpenter.
No, he actually had his lowest strikeout rate last year. My biggest concern last year was the lack of walks. I had a good chat with him during spring training, and he said, I just never felt like I had my swing. I wasn't comfortable at the plate. When you're not comfortable at the plate, and he didn't blame the hamstring injuries. That had to be part of it. But he's like, when you're not comfortable at the plate, you don't see the ball well. It all clicked in the postseason for him. You have to take your walks. This is how the Tigers always frame it. You have to take your walks when they're not pitching to you. It's not draw walks. It's when they're not going to pitch to you. You have to stay in the strike zone and take your walks. Well, he did in the postseason and had a very productive postseason, hit with some power, hit a lefty home run or a home run off a lefty. So I really felt going into this year that he was going to have a big year. His OPS fell from like 920 to 780. 780 is still a good year last year with 26 home runs. But again, it was he just wasn't drawing his walks and he was expanding the strike zone too much. Right now, I think Bobby described it really well. Bobby Scales, my partner, described it really well on the air yesterday. He's like, he's just kind of in between right now. And that's a bad place to be. Every hitter we'll go through that.
Sure.
Where you're not on time for the fastball, you're out ahead of the breaking ball, and you just have to get time back up for the fastball. If there's one thing Kerry Carpenter can do, it's get timed up for the fastball. Not a great start, but believe me, we're going to see a very productive Kerry Carpenter this year.
Meanwhile, coming into this campaign, a lot of question marks about whether or not Riley Green, a gifted player, would be able to cut down on his K's. 25 mm-hmm. at-bats through six games there, Danny. Hitting 200, he's whiffed just six times to go along with four RBI. I think he corrects himself as this season unfolds.
No question. When your strikeout rate is over 30%, and you got to be kind of precise on this, but that's, to me, the red flag, right? And he jumped over 30%. A power hitter can be right around 25% strikeout rate with a good walk rate. You can still be a very productive hitter. He knows he has to cut down. Walks are going to go up this year. He worked very hard on a two-strike approach. I said, what is different about your two-strike approach this year? I asked him in the spring, and he goes, well, I have one. There's a starting point for what's different.
There you go.
So, I mean, he's the most self-deprecating. He's just a great kid. But he really worked on just seeing the nastiest, the pitches that gave him trouble, and now he's trying to lay off them. Or, because you have to be able to do this as a good hitter, make at least be able to foul off some of those nasty two-strike pitches that he used to chase, extend the at-bat, get the ball in the strike zone like we saw Kevin McGonigal do in his that 10-pitch at-bat in Game 2 in San Diego, and then you get a pitch that you can drive. So I think he's going to do all those things. He worked really hard on that this winter, and I do think the other thing I think that will help, it's a smaller strike zone this year. We're going to see more offense in baseball, and I think it helps Riley Green, a guy who kind of chased the high fastball and the top part of the strike zone has been cut off this year with the new system,
right.
The new ABS challenge system, and I think that helps him maybe more than almost any other Tiger hitter.
All right, a couple of wild cards quickly as we bring our conversation to a close here on opening day, Danny Boy. Parker Meadows hitting 200, again through six, couple of RBI. Javi Baez, I think this is going to be very interesting. 14 at-bats, he's hitting 143. Remember a year ago when he was going from shortstop to center field and putting in some quality innings out there, hovering around 300 for a little bit. As a matter of fact, some banks closed when he was around that 300 mark. But I don't know if he's going to duplicate it there, Dan, but you know what? Hopefully he can get close.
Yeah, I think, you know, he really struggled down the stretch. And I think the one part that got a little bit overlooked at the beginning of last year, AJ made sure he gave him the right matchups. So in other words, if he played, he didn't play every day. He was playing in the center, but he was making sure that he wasn't facing righties who had wicked sliders, because he remains very vulnerable to that. And the more he played down the stretch, the more vulnerable he got and the more he chased. So I think it was very much a, you know, making sure he faced lefties, but also righties who didn't have that wicked slider that's going to get him to chase. So I think his best, he's still a very valuable player, but to me, his best is kind of that 350, 400 at bat guy who is going to play all around. He's going to be in the middle of the diamond, either at short or at second, and in center field. And he's really good. He's the best athlete on this team. And he's also really positive. He's going to have a positive impact on Kevin McGonigal. Already has. But right. Just those little bits of wisdom defensively. Kevin McGonigal looks great defensively. And that
sure
was a
does.
Big question mark. You know, everybody's involved in that. Alex, you know, Joey Cora and the whole coaching staff. But another big piece of that is the wisdom that Javi Baez is passing on from shortstop. So I think that's his best use. I have no idea how it's going to unfold, but I just think the offensive struggles at the end of last year were real. And I think that he's best in a more limited role than every day.
I'm a big believer, Dan, you know this about me, ending on a positive. You mentioned the 21-year-old rookie, Kevin McGonigal, 22 at-bats. He's hitting 364.
I love you breaking out all the batting averages in these 14 and 20 at-bats.
Right. But I said he's hitting 364 with 5 RBI, okay? That's all I know.
What I think, you know, I get everybody's excited, and we're all excited, right? But here's the thing. The Tigers make the point, and it's, you know, he's not the savior. He's joining a good offense. Again, top 5 offense last year. He's going to have his ups and downs like not every other rookie,
of
but
course.
Like every other player has. Here's the thing. Because he has elite pitch recognition skills, elite bat-to-ball skills, he reads pitchers and he understands after he sees him one time, if he sees all of his pitches, he did this against Peralta when he doubled off him. He'd seen all 3 pitches the day before, doubled off him in that or that big base-loaded single in game 2. He puts it into his computer bank, and then he uses it in the next at-bat. So whatever his struggles will be, I just feel like based on what we're seeing, his advanced, mature approach at the plate, that those struggles are going to be short-lived versus maybe longer for some other guys.
All right, well
said. This kid's real deal.
Yo, he is.
He's real deal.
And you know what? Baptism under fire, big fan of that. Danny, my good friend, happy opening day to you. Looking forward to a great season with you.
I'm really looking forward to it, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
All right. The voice, Mr. Dan Dickerson, with us here as part of Focus on 760 WJR.